Welcome to the Fully Express podcast with Corinna. I am your podcast host, Corinna Soto, and this is the show where we have conversations that invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We're going to continue on the theme of women's health for the month of June. And this is such a special topic for the Fully Express women because what I've noticed is like we could be doing all of the work, like all of the personal development work, all of the inner work, all of the mindset work, all of the healing, but our health really does make a huge impact. And if anything, it's the foundation to all of that work, right? It's all connected. And how regulated we are, how healthy we are, all of that, how established our hormones are, all of that truly, truly impacts how we show up in our world and how we want to show up in our world. And if we want to have the energy to show up and the vitality to show up in our life, we get to also focus on our health. And as women, I know and I believe that women's health is so different compared to men's health, right? We have a hormonal cycle. Our system operates differently. And so I'm so glad that we get to have a conversation that specifically talks about women's health today. And I have a very special guest. Her name is Yvette Navarro. And Yvette was recommended to me by Marie Cruz. So for those that got a chance to listen to her podcast episode earlier this year, like she was on here and she's like, oh, you got to meet my best friend. I think you guys would vibe so well. So Marie Cruz is here. Yvette is here with us and I'm going to pass it over to her so you get to know who she is and let her introduce herself.
Well, thank you so much, Karina. I'm so excited to be here. I couldn't believe it when Marie Cruz told me about you and that she also had the wonderful opportunity to just have a cool conversation with you. And so my name is Yvette and I studied food and nutrition. I was born in San Diego, but I also have really strong Mexican roots. I constantly would go to Tecate, which is like super close to San Diego. So that was like a super cool experience to have those two contrasts in a way. Although San Diego kind of seems like a wonderful mix of like just all these Latin cultures anyway. So I then was super excited to just kind of travel the world. And I ended up doing like a master's in Germany that I didn't complete and switching to another master's in Valencia, Spain. And then I just fell in love with the Spanish culture. And long story short, I'm here now. So I think that was a little bit brief, but pretty much I've been in love also with just like how to live a healthy lifestyle, which I think that's why the studying food and nutrition was just such a wonderful experience for me. Because in a way, it was just for me to kind of learn about me, how to take care of myself, and how can I kind of pass that on to other women or to, you know, just to individuals. So in a nutshell, I would say that pretty much is a little bit about me, my background, and what I really love doing.
So good. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm so excited to dive deeper. When we were talking, you know, I really wanted to dive into, what are some of the most important aspects to the woman's health? And like we talked, like one of them being sleep, and would love to know what your perspective is on that.
Well, sleep is something that I, like a lot of people, definitely do struggle to kind of find, like, you know, kind of take action so that I can optimize it. I feel like in this modern era, it can be very interesting to navigate sleep, which is so important for us. I'm a huge fan of like just trying to keep up with the scientific research and listening to other podcasts from other professionals. And so, yes, sleep is like huge. Like it's super important for all humans. And sometimes we underestimate it, especially like if we are in a society that is very hustle and bustle and, you know, sleep when you're dead kind of mentality. And so I continue to learn so much about it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited to even provide a few like easy, actionable steps today because it impacts us so much in different phases of our lives. So specifically, let's say like in the pregnancy and postpartum areas that I'm currently super excited to guide women in. So it's a huge part of the guidance that I like to do with women's health, for sure, how to optimize
sleep. Yeah. So what is it about sleep that is so important? What does sleep help us with?
Oh my. So sleep is pretty much essential for like surviving. There's a really wonderful doctor called Wendy Suzuki, and she is a neuroscientist. And I was actually reviewing a little bit of her work yesterday, and she pretty much studies this, and she said something that it was super interesting, like super impactful, which she said, literally, if you were to torture a human, you can pretty much just sleep deprive a human and you would die. Like, just
Wow.
super, super important for, like, and you know, detoxifying, for recovery, for repairing, for protecting your brain health,
Yeah.
and along with just pretty much to function as a human. Sleep is like a huge, huge thing that cannot be underestimated. It's a powerful tool for sure.
Wow. So that's crazy. So, like, literally, it sounds like sleep is one of the most important pieces for your vitality in your life. Is that fair? Like, and
That's
you
really
said
fair
it
to me.
affects detoxing. So maybe we can go down each one. So, what is detoxing and how does sleep impact detoxing?
Exactly. So pretty much what it happens, which of course I'm not like a super, you know, I'm not like a neuroscientist, of course, or anything, but a lot of the research that you can find is that you pretty much would can build up toxins in your brain if you don't sleep properly. So when
Wow.
you do sleep your, you know, the recommended amount, which is between like 7 to 9 hours, your brain is going through that process of like self-cleansing, right? Repair. And so in the topic of detoxing, if you're not giving your body that enough time to do that, then that's when you can run the risks of, you know, mental health, not only in the short term, but also in the long term. Essentially, I think that would be the best way to put it. Just it's important for your body to get that resting time so that it can completely repair and thus detoxify and be able to function.
Wow. I've heard, like, when I sleep, someone has told me, like, multiple things. One, like, our tongues collect a lot of the bacteria because we're, like, cleaning. So it's important to, like, clean your tongue. And then also, because you're detoxifying so much in your sheets, it's important to keep washing your sheets because a lot of the toxins are coming off onto your bed while you're sleeping.
That is so nice, actually. Yeah, now that you bring it up, I, for
Yeah.
example, one of the things I also heard about is, for example, your pillowcase, right? Because then all those oils get into your pillow, and then you can actually do buildup in your skin, and it can be, you know, if you're prone to acne, it can also be one thing. So you're so right. Yeah, like bringing awareness to that type of hygiene,
Yeah.
and I totally I love using this the tongue scraper. I've been using it for
Yeah.
years, and it just makes a huge difference. Even just like, yeah, keeping your tongue nice and, you know, pink or red, and diminishing as many, you know, all those toxins that you mentioned. Yeah, that's a great one
Yeah.
for sure.
What's the other thing that sleep impacts, you said? What's the next one?
The next one that it impacts is going to be just your functioning. So for example, and that would be, I mean, that's kind of just to go a little bit more specific, maybe like your mood, right? Your mood. So you're going to be definitely more frustrated, unable to focus. I guess for mood, yeah, it would be more those fluctuations in mood, you know, being frustrated, not being able to communicate effectively. So that can be something. And also like your energy levels, of course, right? You're going to be more sleepy. So for example, decision making throughout your day, or when you feel that fogginess over you, right? Where you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing next, or essentially, yeah, a little bit of that mood area and decision making.
Got it. Amazing. And then how does sleep impact our hormones?
Yeah, so for women, we would say that is really important because specifically in the area of pregnancy, women are going through like a huge shift in their hormones. And even just women who are trying to get pregnant, you know, with our menstruation cycle, we go through huge shifts of these hormones. So when we don't sleep properly, you can also affect like your stress hormone, cortisol. So a lot of times, sometimes that stress of from that, you know, from lack of sleep. So those are some, I mean, again, I'm not like an endocrinologist or anything, but sleep will definitely throw off that cycle, especially when you don't keep. Which is one of the tips that we can provide when you don't, it can be hard too. I would say it's one of the hardest, but keeping like to a schedule, keeping yourself on a schedule when you sleep, you know, consistently as much as possible. And it's really hard for a lot of us, especially during the weekend, right? Like sometimes you just don't want to go to bed, like you usually go through the week. But these things will affect your cycle and the ability to regulate your hormones just more smoothly, right? But yeah, I think in a nutshell, it's simple to say that it can affect like your stress hormones for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a routine would be very helpful for anyone that wants to get on a good sleep schedule. When someone's pregnant, maybe we can go into that because I know there's some listeners that are pregnant. When someone is pregnant and, they definitely need more sleep, where is that coming from? Do you know?
Definitely. Well, the research you can find is that similarly to what I mentioned, where your hormones are just gonna go, all over the place when you are pregnant. And the main thing is that you're gonna be affected by a lot of the symptoms of pregnancy, unfortunately. Of course, there's things that we can control, but some of those are going to be like being more, your body temperature is going to increase, right? So you're gonna go through that inability to sometimes, to be uncomfortable when you go to bed. Also like the nausea and vomiting, which is really typical, which are all like essentially normal things during pregnancy, but things that you can definitely do to moderate them. And things like frequent urination during the night when your baby's, growing and it's pushing through your bladder. So little things like that that lead to the discomfort and a lot of the common problems that pregnant women have to navigate. So it's making it to get proper sleep. Is that if I kind of answered your question,
Yeah.
if
So
you want to.
how does someone end up working through that? Because I can think to myself, like, I haven't been pregnant before. And I also just imagine, like, I want to know these answers. Like, is there a way to get more comfortable at night? I guess, like, sleeping in, like, a lot of AC to, like, help lower my body temperature? Or, like, what else would help me, like, really get some sleep? Because I know how important it is, but it's also one of the most uncomfortable seasons of life in your body because our bodies are going through so much.
That is for sure. And I love that question that you're mentioning, how to keep a good sleep hygiene for pregnant women, which is can make a huge difference. Because first of all, you are going to require to sleep more. Pregnancy is one of the phases that women should be sleeping more, and that they shouldn't feel, frustrated because they need, you want to do a lot of things, but it is a time to slow down more, to take rest. So like you mentioned, definitely keeping a cool room makes a huge difference, right? Like something as simple as removing like your warm duvet. Maybe you can just keep like a lighter sheet to begin with. And then of course during the night, if you do feel starting cold, you have that warmer layer to put on. But that is a huge thing that some of us, even myself, sometimes you don't realize when you're transitioning to the summer, if your pregnancy is like in a transition to the summer, lighter sheets. Another thing, of course, would be makes a huge impact that we can all do, even if we're not pregnant, would be a darker room, right? So keeping it dark, we deal a lot with like city light pollution. And so that makes a huge impact. Even if you're still dealing with, noise pollution that we now have to deal with in the cities, that makes a huge impact. So lighting for sure. Another thing that we mentioned, it would be like keeping the consistent bedtime, but I know that one can be really hard, especially with like just trying to do a quick check, email check, or trying to just like doom scroll, which we all do at some point. It's really hard, I would say. But if you can stick to a bedtime routine and remove your digital usage, I think a lot of research right now is showing that that makes a huge impact in the type of sleep you're also going to get, which is going to be more restful when you put away the screens. So anything else you can tip with Karina? Because I do definitely have a long more that I can add, but what do you
Well,
think about those?
I'll just comment on like what you just shared. Nick and I have doubled down on our bed night routine and our morning routine more than ever. Like we've always kind of done that, but most recently, like we went to Costa Rica and then we came back, and in Costa Rica we were going to bed at 8 and waking up at 5 naturally because it was like we were in the middle of nowhere. There was not a lot of light, right? Like we were just starting to calm down, like naturally, like our bodies went down with the sun and woke up with the sun. And when we came back to the United States, we're like, how do we keep this bed night routine? Because truly we felt absolutely amazing. Like it was so regulated, so restful, so focused, so peaceful. Like life just felt so good. And so when we came home, we started because here, obviously, it's hard, but like here, for example, in California, the sun is starting to go down later, like closer to like 8:30, 8:45. I remember being in Spain or in Europe somewhere, and I almost believe like sometimes the sun goes down at like 10 is over there, like 9 or 10. Is that right?
Right now, actually, it's what is happening right now in Spain.
Okay, so
It's
that's the
really
same.
it's the same. Yeah, and there's period in certain countries, like in Sweden, where I lived, where like the sun doesn't go down at all. So that is just a huge shift.
Yeah. And that's so hard. That's so hard. So like what we've started to do here, we put everything down by 8. Like we say, no TV, no nothing, just us time. It's our opportunity to connect. And we only put like candles on, or we use our red light as a way for like an hour before bed. And then we do all of our routine like in the dark, basically. Like we're cleaning the kitchen in the dark just with candles. We're brushing our teeth with like candles on and like doing our night routine, the things that we do, like our face and things like that. And then we'll be in bed no later than, like, we'll be asleep by no later than 9:30. And just creating that hour and a half to like set ourselves up with no light, no screens, just focusing on things has made a huge difference. And I can wake up pretty consistently around like 6:15 if I keep that schedule. Sometimes my body's even getting up before 6 on its own, and I feel rested when I wake up. And then the first hour of the day, we try and limit any artificial lights or blue lights. So we'll use the red light and the candles for the first hour of the day as well. So like we're using not harsh lighting that kind of messes with our brains. So we'll do that. And like that has really, really been the game changer. The part that I struggle with a lot here is like, we don't have a lot of sun right now in San Diego. It's May, gray, and June gloom. And I do so much better when I wake up to sun, because it's like naturally resources me, but I can't do that. So I'm leveraging this. You can still get sun in the clouds, right? Like it's still helpful. Mm-hmm. So I go out for a walk, but I'll use the red light as well to help me operate throughout the day. So I'll stop there. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I was just thinking, wow, that is just so spot on. Those are like what I would call like small changes, huge impact.
Yeah.
Because like you mentioned, even the research shows that like what you're doing with using light candle at night is prompting your body to create that melatonin, which is going to help you to unwind. And that is super key. So even if it's not candles, like I love that idea. I used to do that a lot in Sweden with just during dinner. We would put like the candle was more for like the romanticization of it. My partner and I also have like the different light bulbs that you can change with Alexa. He's like super into tech around the house. So similarly to what you do, is I just try to tell Alexa like put like a yellow color, right? So it's gonna kind of mimic more of like a lower tone of light. So lighting is huge. I love that you are implementing those amazing habits. And the other one that you mentioned was the one where you don't use your screen, because it does show as well that it can disrupt, of course, your sleep cycle, all that blue light that we are now intaking from our electronics. And that's huge too. And then you also mentioned, of course, like getting some fresh air, doing some movement in the morning, because that's also what you do in the morning is going to kind of prompt your whole day. So you're starting with such a lovely, natural way to kind of keep your cycles during the day and during the night very smooth and reinitiate that deep sleep. But that's another thing. Sometimes we feel like we need more sleep, but it's because of these factors that we're not kind of taking action on. Like sometimes I might need 9 hours, and that means because sometimes like, okay, I ended up using the phone at night, you know, so now I'm all over the place. Or maybe in another topic too would be like maybe the type of food that you ate the night before. So we'll get into that as well. Because I think those, like you mentioned, those things that you do during the day can have a huge impact during your getting into the rhythm of sleep at night.
I love all of that. The one thing I will say before we transition to food that has been super helpful to what you were talking about, Nick and I sleep with eye masks now. And that has also helped like with blacking out the room. Like unless we're able to like completely black out the room, like it's not the same, but we'll definitely go to sleep with our eye mask. And it makes such a difference. Like for anyone that's listening, like I used to take advantage of not sleeping. You know, I was a person that would watch TV before bed. Like I would fall asleep with the TV on in the background, you know, like that's what put me to bed. And that just to me showed me how like dysregulated I was and how activated I was and how I needed the activation to be able to even fall asleep. Like this has completely changed my life in so many different ways. And I'm so glad that we're talking about it, because it allows me to show up in ways that I didn't know was possible. You know, like I think everyone thinks that the way that they're going to sleep is normal and like that's the best they're going to get. but it's not true. Like you can literally go to sleep and get good sleep and wake up feeling refreshed, which is like not what I used to think. I used to think that going to bed was, I'm just gonna wake up tired the next day. You know, like I always felt exhausted and I thought everyone always felt exhausted. Versus now it's like we're talking about the ability to feel literally refreshed, like energized, like not needing a cup of coffee when you wake up in the morning kind of energy. Like you're just ready for the day. I would love to know how food impacts our sleep. So what does that mean, and like how does that impact us?
That's lovely, but very nicely said and summarized as well, Karina. Honestly, I would say, like you mentioned, is it's also a huge part. And on the note of the coffee, which you brought it up, it's wonderful because one of the huge signals that you are getting good sleep and deep sleep is, like you mentioned, you feel refreshed. So that's going to be your clue that, okay, I did something right. How can I continue to do that? And with caffeine, is being more strategic about it. I mean, a lot of us don't know how sensitive we are. Sometimes we just normalize, like you said, feeling tired. So you go into this negative cycle of like, I'm just gonna caffeinate, caffeinate, caffeinate to keep me running. But one of the things that you can do is to not consume it at least 8 hours before you go to bed, and that can make a huge impact. And just kind of finding other alternatives for it, because a lot of times when you build a new habit, you're like, well, what am I gonna do instead? But really, in giving it, just trying it out, right? Say, how can I continue to have that nice hot beverage so I don't overdo caffeine? Because it is going to, if there's a high chance that it can affect. And a lot of people are different. Like, some people are great caffeine metabolizers and maybe they can have a little bit, but it's all about, like, again, feel like, listen to your body. If you feel like maybe you had a coffee way late during the day, then that definitely could have an impact on your sleep. So caffeine, that's a huge one, because I know we all love it. And another thing I would say specifically during pregnancy, because I am Latina and I love my spice, and sometimes I do overdo it at night, that can definitely have an effect on you,
Oh,
because
really?
yeah, it overstimulates you. For pregnancy specifically, it can actually be even worse, because it can put you at risk for like acid reflux, which is just something that you're going to be more sensitive when you're pregnant. And so spicy food, being a little bit careful and not to overdo it at night. I know sometimes I overdo it and I can feel that kind of like acid reflux during the night, kind of like that nausea. Other things like foods, it would be like your proteins. I mean, eggs are known to be really great for like at night. They keep you satiated. They also keep your blood sugars very stable. But if you're more into like plant-based foods, of course, your legumes are going to be also excellent. I know some people can say, hey, they make me really gassy. So working on the cooking length for you, what works for you, because that can also be an impact if you get a little gassy and then you're kind of like bloated at night. But I think those would be two to highlight, especially during pregnancy, like the caffeine intake and also like the spicy foods, if you do enjoy them.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think the podcast knows this, and I talk about this so often, but about 2 years ago, I gave up coffee and
Ooh.
life changed. But I still have a cup of coffee every once in a while. Like I'm not perfect, because to your point, like I love it, you know? So like if I go to a coffee shop, like of course I want to order a coffee, you know? So I'll still do that. But the rule that I've given myself, and I would love your perspective on this, is I have to eat first thing in the morning, so I put food on. So my bad habit was like I would drink coffee on an empty stomach, which was affecting me. And then so I tend to eat, and like my window is like I have to have it between a cup of coffee between like 10 and 1 at the latest. Like anything before 1, or anything after 1, like I'm already messing up my sleep or like affected or wired. And usually I pair it with Nick is a what's it called? L-theanine. To help with the jitters, if anything, because like I still don't metabolize it well, and I can feel like a little crazy in my body, where I'm just like, oh, I definitely had a cup of coffee. I need to run a million miles an hour. Da, 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 da. Like that definitely happens to me now because I've taken it so far out of my system. Like even right now, as we're recording, because we're recording in the morning, like I have my protein cacao, which is with has I make it with bone broth, and then just cacao in the morning and protein. So it's like really heavy protein. Cacao and like, and I'll have this with like eggs and potatoes, but I won't have, but it still gives me like my warmth and stuff. So that has been really supportive. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. And And again, like coffee's not bad. It's just however your body metabolizes it to reflect that back to you, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, you spot on. You gotta kind of, I mean, I'm sure there's tests that you can do if you really want to know, like, how, what is like my tolerance level? Because a lot of times it can be very cultural. Like here in Spain, they do coffee like 2 or 3 times a day sometimes. So for me, I'm like, oh, I would love to join, but now I know how it affects my body. So you, like yourself, you are very much aware, okay, I didn't have, let me try this instead. You know, you're trying like an alternative delicious beverage, which by the way sounds amazing, with like you said, like high protein. Cacao is very, it's known to give you that energy. And I would say that you're spot on. You know, you want to just listen to your body and know that thankfully there's more and more research about this too, that you can look up on the scientific evidence that supports that, you know, some people will be affected if you take it way later during the day, as delicious as it can be. It's important to know, you know, that's gonna spiral into this, you know, into my sleep, which is super important. And like with the breakfast, like you mentioned, I think that's it's known to be very beneficial to stabilize your blood sugar, to have like some, you know, proteins in the morning, to have some, you added some delicious superfoods in there, and then you're having your either coffee sometimes when you want to, or that other stimulating beverage, because also cacao is very stimulating. So actually that can also be something maybe perhaps to avoid at night, because cacao can be very stimulating. It also has it can have sometimes a little bit of caffeine, but to the point, it most more than anything is stimulating. So you're mixing it up really well. More in the morning, you're having your
Yeah, not at
protein.
night. If I had this at night, I'd be like wired, which even like chocolate, like we're talking about cacao, right? So like a piece of chocolate, like I used to want like a piece of chocolate after bed, and I'd be like, I wouldn't sleep as well. I'd be like, oh, my energy's back up again, unless I go for a walk afterwards. Can we talk a little bit about blood sugar and what that actually, like your glucose spikes and blood sugar and like how that impacts sleep?
Definitely. Yeah. So how should we, like, let's see how I can kind of add it in here for like maybe practical reasons. Yeah. Like you mean like how to like keep your blood sugar stable and all that. Yeah. So yeah, definitely. That can be another episode, but I would say that it's a crucial thing, you know, because, you know, as we know, food affects us a lot, and also in this case, our sleep. So in my Better Sleep and Gratitude Journal, I do highlight some of the ways that, you know, of course, food is going to impact your blood sugar. So always incorporating things like protein throughout your day, and this doesn't have to be all animal products. You can definitely mix and match, and depending on what you prefer, if you're more plant-based, there's definitely wonderful ways to include all of your plant-rich proteins. For example, like your legumes or sometimes tofu and your seeds, and combining your seeds with whole grains. So keeping a healthy diet, you know, with your proteins and healthy grains will have a huge amount of impact on your blood sugar. So as we know, ultra-processed foods, like ultra processed foods, the ones that are just loaded with things like artificial coloring and artificial sweeteners. They're still being researched, but some of the research does show that it can have an impact, like on your microbiota, and your microbiota is like your second brain that communicates with your, you know, your actual brain. So before I babble too much, anything in regards to that you want to highlight? I was
No,
trying to
super
focus on.
helpful. You're it's super helpful. What are the some things that we can do to balance our sugar or our blood sugar?
One of the easy ways that you can also balance them, I would say adding exercise. I think movement is super important for balancing, even for people who are diabetic. At the clinic that I used to work on, working with their doctor to find some type of movement is going to help you manage your glucose levels very, very well. So movement is so important, actually, even during pregnancy, beyond weight management, also for mental health. Right. So any movement counts. Anything that you, it's enjoyable to you. Exercise is huge for better sleep, for keeping your blood sugar levels stable. And if you can do it every day, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Sometimes, even for me, it's like a 20-minute walk around the nearest park. Sometimes it's like a nice yoga session, or sometimes just, you know, pushing yourself to do a little bit of weight throughout the week. But exercise is huge. Yeah. Especially for pregnant women. Again, follow your doctor's order, because every pregnant woman is going to be different. They're going to have different scenarios. So it's important to talk to your doctor about, like, what can I do now? Some type of exercise, I'm sure they might be able to do, because it'll impact them for sure. And it impacts us.
Yeah. Even as simple as walking, you know, I think we like forget the power of walking. There's just the gift of walking. Like, that is something, like, when it comes to blood sugar that we've implemented is, like, after every meal, we go for a walk. And that helps us balance out our blood sugar and our foods, especially at night and stuff, and, like, helps us metabolize and things like that. Like, it's really, I'm so grateful that we're having this conversation, because it is so important, you know, and I don't think this information is out there as easily. And most of us that are listening to this are probably implementing this later in life. So there's the decision to make habit changes, to create a different things that you like and what you don't like, and, like, all of that that comes into it. And there's a part of me that has been thinking a lot lately that health gets to be easy, right? We have the equation, right? We have the information that you've been sharing with us on the podcast. It's just, it seems hard because we're saying all these changes, right? It could be, like, very overwhelming to, like, oh, now I need a bedtime routine. Now I need to eat more protein. Now, you know, the opportunity to, like, go on these walks. And it's like, one, start shift by shift, small by small, but, like, also, the opportunity that's on the other side of creating a life this way is so much greater than keeping ourselves from that. Because, to, like, the point of this podcast, like, sleep is one of the most important ingredients to our life, to the point where if someone takes it away, it can kill us. Like, that's what you said at the beginning. Like, if someone takes away the sleep in our lives, like, we would die. And so just imagine how many people in our world today that are listening to this and are sleep deprived. Like, so many people are sleep deprived and not giving their bodies enough sleep. And so this conversation is so important. Is there anything else that you would want to add?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, honestly, like you said, Karina, it's amazing that it's now available. And I'm, like you said, these conversations are so important. So we continue to bring awareness. And we can inspire women out there, and just, you know, everybody, that it can be, you know, one step at a time. You don't have to switch everything around in one day. Don't feel pressured. Do the opposite. Actually, just do one of these. Try it out for like a few weeks, and then build on it. Because, like you said, it's more about, how can I make this a lifestyle? How can I think maybe, like, a why? Sometimes a lot of time with my clients, I think about, what is your why? Because, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take time. We live in a society where everything is going to be quick. We want, like, that magic pill. We want, like, that quick fix. And this is not going to be a quick fix. Like, let's just be honest. It's going to take some time, and you're never going to be perfect. And I'm actually creating another nice guidance for my clients, which is called the reset, which is meant to motivate you to keep going, because all of us are going to slip. I continue to do that. Even right now that I was staying in the village, I, like, didn't sleep at the time that I usually do. And it's fine. You're going to be fine. But I'm knowing your big why and how it's going to make a huge impact on your overall health. So I would say, take it day by day. You know, don't take all these tips and try to put them all in place. Like, just choose one, maybe. Choose one and then see how you feel. I think it's actually a huge thing to remind the listener, so they don't get overwhelmed and give up.
Yeah, so important, so good. And you said something that was, you said something so amazing. We're going to slip up. That's what you said. You said, we're going to slip up. And it's so true. We are going to slip up. And that's okay. And I think the other side of this, like, our bodies are so adaptable. Like, they're so resilient. They're so capable of being with the hiccups. You know, something that I like to remember is, like, if we give ourselves grace when we do hiccup, we're going to move through it faster. But the stress of being upset with ourselves is probably going to do more harm to our bodies than just letting ourselves be like, okay, I get to start again tomorrow and it's fine. I remember when I was, like, really into, like, eating really, really healthy, and I was dieting and working out, like, the pressure that I put on myself was not supportive. And, like, this conversation that we're having today is, like, a much loving conversation. It's an invitation. It's meant to show you a different way, but in all means, not here to shame you or make you feel guilty or make you feel hard. It's just like, okay, let's just implement one little step. And the key thing, you guys, that I think is a really good why is, like, Eventually, when you start to see how good you feel compared to what you were feeling, you'll notice like, oh my goodness, like I feel, to be frank, like shit this week. Why do I feel like shit this week? I don't want to feel this week. Like once you feel vital and energized and consistent and refreshed when you wake up, you're like, I want more of that. And so, but we got to give our bodies the opportunity to feel that, you know, like if we don't give our chance to feel it, we're not going to know what's available to us. And so that's, I think, what this podcast episode is such a gift is like the opportunity to be like, oh, there is a way that I could feel good and feel better. And then that could become your new normal. That could become your standard. That could be something that you can live by. And like, that's amazing. And that's so cool. And we can do that all by optimizing our sleep.
Exactly. Look at that. And it's so interconnected too. I mean, we brought like all these tools that help you to have better sleep, and they all go so lovely, like love in a lovely way. They all complement each other, right? Because like what you eat is going to impact it, and then like exercise and all these tools at the end of the day that are meant to help humans function and be optimized. And like you said, giving yourself the opportunity to feel different, because you'd be surprised how many people normalize feeling so crappy. And I think that's a key thing that you mentioned, like give yourself the opportunity and also be super compassionate about your process, because no one does it perfectly. Like I'm literally going to a wedding next weekend, and I already know that I'm going to like not sleep on my usual time with it, and it's fine. I'm like, okay, I'll get back on track. Just be aware that you are trying your best and you have your why of what you're doing it, you know. So yeah, I think that was just so lovely the way you put it, an invitation and a little compassion for yourself as well, which bleeds into other areas of your life eventually too.
Totally, 100%. So as we wrap this up, I would love to know, how can someone connect with you, and do you have any like little any offerings going on right now, like if someone does want to work with you? Also, you're located in Spain, so some of the podcast listeners are all over the US and Canada. Like, do you still work with people remotely? Would love to just know a little bit about that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I have. You can find me at Earthy Yvette. So it's a combination of like being earthy and, you know, Earthy Yvette. It kind of goes with my name. And you can find me there on Instagram. You can also find me online, but that one is going to be more my name. So it'll be YvetteNavarro.com. And you can find a lot of wonderful freebies on my website or on my Linktree on my Insta. So you'll have the Better Sleep and Gratitude Journal, which is goes very well with the whole topic of sleeping, optimizing your sleep, and other freebies there that I'm uploading very soon, like the reset one. So thank you for that. Yeah, they can find me online on Insta, on the website, and I totally do the consultations via online as well. So that'll be great. Yeah, they can find me. We can do virtual contact.
Okay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Yvette, for coming onto the podcast and for having such an important conversation with us and sharing the tips and tricks that we can just add into our life and the small tips, and also just like the importance of sleep. Like, I literally can't get over the fact that like someone can literally torture you. Like, if sleep gets taken away, like you could die. Like, that is so powerful and such a key of awareness. So, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And it was such a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for all the wonderful, this wonderful space that you create and that you provide. And I'm so grateful as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you.